Welcome to this week's reflection episode. It's the practical companion to the episode called The Power Paradox. If you listened to Monday's episode, you may remember a picture that I painted. I talked about the well-intentioned type B motivated middle manager who slowly got pulled into the games of a type A motivated boss. She played along to keep her job, and 2 years later, she didn't recognize herself anymore. This was the moment when she decided for a political move instead of the right one. Her values hadn't changed, but her boss had reshaped her behavior. Today's episode is about how to see that pull before it gets you. As mentioned, awareness is the key practice that allows us to spot when our behavior starts drifting away from our intentions. It keeps us anchored when the environment around us is pulling us towards the dark side of power. Let me show you the three key areas to observe first. The first area I want you to watch is your relationship with feedback. When power starts working on us, the first thing that quietly shifts is how we receive and perceive feedback. Leadership and positions of power have a natural tendency to isolate us from honest and critical feedback. Titles and ranks easily create discomfort and even fear of repression in those sitting below us, because one way or another, they are dependent on a positive relationship. And the higher we climb, the bigger this isolation usually becomes. So it's not just important to observe if and what kind of feedback we're getting, but from whom we're still getting it. Our positioning comes along with the desire to protect it. And criticism easily becomes the trigger that gets us to move into protective mode. This is when our perception of feedback, in particular critical feedback and pushback, gets us to use our power to silence the critics. This is rarely an active or conscious decision we make. It mostly happens subconsciously. So watch out for how you feel when someone disagrees with you in a meeting. Do you ignore them, brush them off, or give them an annoyed look? Do team members who ask uncomfortable or challenging questions make you avoid them? Do you become competitive or aggressive when a peer challenges a decision you've made? Just notice what happens in your body. Check whether you find yourself getting angry and dismissing a person instead of responding to their argument. When you go into meetings, notice whether you're more talking and explaining rather than listening. And are you already preparing a response while others are still talking? These are small moments. They may not feel like much in that moment, but the problem is that they compound. Leaders who lose themselves to power don't stop receiving feedback overnight. It's rather these small moments that, when people around us experience them often enough, take as a clear signal that feedback is no longer welcome. So when you feel like you're becoming less open to genuine feedback, others' perspectives, ideas, or even pushback, start to reflect and just ask yourself one question. Am I responding to what was actually said, meaning the actual information, or am I simply reacting to the person who said it? And would I react the same way if this came from my boss or someone higher up? The second area to watch is how you talk about people when they're not in the room. This one is uncomfortable because most of us do it without even noticing. We complain about someone to another colleague. We name their mistakes and meetings they're not in. We call a team member difficult in a coffee chat with someone who may not even know them, just to relieve some tension. A great way to avoid this is the following awareness practice. Before you say something about someone who isn't there, imagine they are. If you wouldn't say it when they are in the room, don't say it without them being there either. The way we take feedback and talk about other people are strong signals on where we are on that spectrum between type A and type B. Type A motivated leaders shield themselves from feedback and also avoid giving direct and honest feedback to others, because both can easily feel like a threat to their positioning. Type B motivated leaders welcome pushback and critical feedback. And even when frustrated, they tend to talk about absent people in ways they would be willing to repeat in a conversation with them. The third area to watch is how you handle advantages and favors. Power can be used to manipulate others. Giving advantages and favors to others is one of the most practiced power moves. So watch out for how you use them. Are you giving credit to those who really earned it? Do you favor people who look up to you? Are you more forgiving with them and mistakes they made than you are with those who challenge you? Do you promote based on actual achievements, or do you give chances only to people who support your positioning? Most of the corruptive nature of power doesn't really feel alarming to us, because it happens in tiny choices we make on a daily basis. These were the key areas you should observe most carefully in order to not fall for the corruptive nature of power. Next, I want to give you three signs that the political games of others have started reaching you. The first sign is when you find yourself rehearsing conversations in your head before you have them. I don't mean preparing a meeting with your boss. With rehearsing, I mean trying to anticipate what the other person wants to hear, so you can shape your message to meet their expectations. That's a clear political move. You're telling people above what you think they want to hear. It's a performance that says you started playing along in a political theater. The second sign is when you start making decisions based on what will actually protect your position rather than what actually serves the work. A small example. You don't raise an issue in a meeting because you know that the boss will react badly. Or you soften a justified argument because the unfiltered version would create friction. You choose a safer hire over the better one because the better one might challenge you. These are the exact moves of the middle manager I talked about in Monday's episode. Just one at a time, until she couldn't recognize herself anymore. The third sign I want you to reflect on is when you start to enjoy being in favor. Power games create insiders and outsiders, and being on the inside feels good for almost anyone. If you notice that you're enjoying the warmth of your boss's approval more than you're noticing the cost it's coming with, that's the moment you're in the game. Now, you may ask, what is the best strategy? Honestly, there is none. Awareness and self-reflection are key elements. But depending on where you are, how long you've already been in the game, and what the environment looks like, it all comes down to your choices. In my experience, the best strategy is to keep yourself in close and honest contact with people who know you really, really well. Friends from school or university, people who have nothing to do with your professional life. Think about the friend who will honestly tell you when you start sounding or behaving differently. Or the mentor who isn't impressed by your status. The partner or a family member who can name exactly when you've stopped being yourself. These people are your anchor. Think of them as a sounding board. We all need them to stay grounded. Power can be used in many good ways. But when we isolate ourselves and avoid critical voices and feedback, it pulls us faster in the wrong direction than we could have ever imagined. That's it for today's reflection. If you have enjoyed it, don't forget to subscribe. Next week, we'll continue with a critical look at confidence. I will show you how easy it is to fall into the trap that turns confidence into overconfidence. Until then, stay curious, stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in to the New Work Playbook. where work is better because people matter.